Tomaha Davin.
What's good, Kevin?
How are you?
I'm good. I got this little bottle of champagne.
It's adorable.
It's so cute.
It's very cute. It's very cute. And cheers to you, because a congratulations is in order. You don't want to talk about it?
No.
You don't want to talk about it? You're not pregnant. That's not what.
Well, oh,
that'd
wow.
be weird if you cheers with
really
champagne.
Weird.
No, I'm excited for you.
Thanks. We're supposed to do it next episode.
Oh, damn. Well, yo, we could cheers twice to yourself.
Okay, listen, it's Thursday. That's what I'm cheersing to.
Right. Well, congratulations
to
you.
And Complex.
We just tell people what your new gig is, please.
Writing news for Complex.
Right. 4 days a week.
Yes.
Damn. It's a lot. It's a lot of writing.
I know. It's kind of awesome, but like hard.
Yeah, no shit. Well, because you have to constantly generate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just surfing the...
Well, they give me stories, so yeah.
Well, congratulations. For real, that's a big deal. And I think it's a big deal that you are doing that as a writer in this city. And,
yeah.
You know, and shout out, Sean Sotero, too. For being your boss.
I know. Well, the only time I've talked to him is when he corrected. He said I should use the same quotation marks through the entire story.
Okay.
So there were like flat quotations and curved, and I had them all, you know.
Yeah.
Had a both out here.
Look,
so.
That's why he's good at his gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Sean. I love Sean. I love the Cypher and Josh and their and their movement.
Hey,
and their
you
podcast.
Interviewed him, right?
Yeah, that for the 200th episode. Yeah. So listen. Today we have a this. It's like we're like in a moment right now with
which moment?
With our guest.
With our guest.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. Popping on the scene.
Popping out here. He busting. He busting many moves.
Really is collecting many clout coins.
Yes.
Oh, right?
Clout coin calculator on full. It's extra. It's broken.
Just had an incredibly beautiful and profound show of his work.
Yes.
A photographer, a videographer, a champion of
a
documenter,
yes.
a champion of creatives in the city and beyond.
Yes.
A bridge builder, someone who really is consistently introducing people, creatives, to one another, which I think is a really...
And spotlighting creatives that, we don't talk about a lot.
Right. You might know him as Dirt or actually on Dirt, but in the corner store today, y'all, please give it up for Evan.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yo, fuck every intro I'm ever gonna get ever.
That's good.
We like to really bring you up and then tear you down later.
Yeah, please. I'm ready for the teardown.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, there ain't
no teardown, baby. This is it.
Okay, I'm happy to be here.
We're fans, man. We're fans, and congratulations. And maybe we could just start actually with the show that really was bussing and mad people out in these streets to support your beautiful work, and just maybe tell us about where the show is and where people could still see it.
Yeah, definitely. So I've been telling everyone since the show, like, there must have been nothing else popping in the city that night.
But there was so much.
I wasn't there, but my Instagram.
You're the first person to tell me that there actually was. I know there was one other thing at AMFM, but.
Oh, yeah.
At the year
which
party.
Which was a year anniversary.
Yeah.
I went to four other galleries that night.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was.
Well, yeah. There must have been nothing else happening in the neighborhood or something, because there was hundreds of people that
You're downplaying
I'd never
it.
Seen.
I know, man.
No, it was crazy. It was crazy. Lots of friends came, like people that knew me way before I was a photographer, that I grew up with, that live all over the country, flew in, my family, my parents were there, so that was super
Well,
crazy.
I wasn't there, but I felt like I was there because my Instagram was there.
See, that's
so
another
thus,
thing a lot of people say.
Yes.
So, yeah. I'm a very social person, and like Kevin said, I like connecting people and building bridges. And
No, you're great at that.
And I'm a hyper connector, as I think Malcolm Gladwell or someone else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I can say is I heard your name for a really long time, and I didn't know what you looked like for like 6 months. What
did you think I looked like? I want to hear it.
I mean, your name's Evan Brown. I figured you were a white guy. But I didn't know, like, I couldn't fill in.
Evan Brown.
That's funny because
someone just told
me that Brown is a... more of a black last name.
Oh, I don't know.
Go either way, I feel like. So, Evan
yeah.
Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. I just assumed you were white. Sorry.
Well,
yeah.
I am. It's okay.
When I met you, because I came to your crib when you lived at, with, in that fancy crib.
Oh, yeah. The creative frat house.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that place was dope.
The real world house.
Mm. Yeah, damn near.
That's exactly
But I was like,
was.
Oh, this is who Evan is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I remember. Yeah, it's great.
Well, let's go back to your white parents, maybe. And where do you come from?
Yeah, so my parents are from two opposite ends of the spectrum. My mom grew up on a farm, and my father grew up in a country club. And so very, very differing upbringings and backgrounds. But they, fell in love, met in a bowling alley, and there I am.
Wait, sorry, in Chicago?
No, in Springfield, Illinois. So I'm from Springfield, Illinois, okay. Home of Abe Lincoln, The Simpsons.
So your family lives there
briefly,
still?
Barack Obama. What? Yeah, they live there.
That's some other side of the tracks type shit, though.
They
met at a bowling alley.
Yeah. Oh, that. Okay, I was
farmer,
like...
Farmer, country club goer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom left the farm to go to the big city.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
wow. Wait, so was she in the city for a night on the town?
No, she had lived there. She had moved up, moved to the big, Springfield. So anyways, growing up there was cool. It's kind of like a microcosm of America. I was just explaining to someone that it's different because you could be in housing projects on the east side of town and then drive 10 minutes and be in cornfields and nothing around you at all. Mm-hmm. So it was a very strange place, but yeah.
And who were you in high school? Like, how did you?
Played a lot of basketball. But I was
good. Oh, right, because Emma made you.
I was okay. I was, it's better than your average Joe. But yeah, Emma made me the Mike Jordan piece. Although I don't know if it had to. That was a whole nother thing. Less to do with basketball than, but in high school, I was always someone, this is one of the few things that kind of stayed with me, is I always got along with a lot of different people. And I hated being Evan's a part of this clique or this group or this, these people are associated with Evan. I was always kind of what's up with you over here and you over here? I'm just kind of always my own person.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
because I think that's, one of the spaces you occupy here.
That's definitely something that's carried over, and something a lot of things and I was doing in high school and the person I was, I've changed a lot, thankfully.
Sure.
Or else you guys probably wouldn't like me or have me on the radio, so.
Wait, why? Were you?
Yeah, I was just,
you weren't shit in high school?
I was making a lot of bad decisions. High school kids.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Exactly.
And you're in the...
Wait, what were you doing, though? What was some of the more fuck shit?
Allegedly.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Right. I mean...
Mostly with studies. Mostly with my studies. So I wasn't the most... studious
but
student.
That doesn't matter now,
but it definitely derailed my life and just threw me in this weird tumble which got me to the point where I'm at today.
Cool. Yeah. We'll do that. We made a party foul.
Yo, what is wrong with us?
You know why? Because we're so excited.
I think we popped the bottle too early.
Maybe that could have been it.
Also, our banter is distracting.
Evan, we apologize to you.
Sincerest.
Because we do want to welcome you in with some snacks.
Oh.
Okay,
yes.
So...
this is the snack portion of the night.
Yeah, and you have your options in terms of what you want to do with the snacks.
Man, hear that bag crinkle, though.
I know, that's good radio.
Yes.
That's good radio. You could share or you could keep to yourself. You know what I mean? You have to cook.
Okay, well, I'm going to see what's on deck before I make that decision.
You are from Springfield, which is in Southern Illinois. Therefore, we have some Vintners...
Southern Illinois.
We do have some Vintners Sweet Southern Heat Barbecue Chips.
Noted.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. I don't need to look any further, honestly.
No, these
but you
are
get all
for
the
you.
Snacks.
This is all for you. These are treats.
Three delicacies.
We got the Young Vitamin C Fortified Watermelon Fruit Juice Cocktail Arizona for you as well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wow. This is a big boy.
And then...
Fatty.
Some original Skittles.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's... Yeah. The trifecta.
Okay.
If I ever knew
so, you know, thank do your thing. I mean, I don't want any Skittles.
Okay.
But
wow, that's really offensive.
But do your thing.
In maybe a decade.
I don't want Skittles, but I want all the Skittles. Oh.
Yeah, come closer to the mic, please. Thank you.
Oh.
No,
you're pointing at?
Y'all got these WGN chairs.
Yeah.
Right. Real cozy.
You gotta sit forward a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the spaceship at WGN, it is, especially with the lighting tonight, it feels a little luxurious.
This is the better lighting, right?
Yeah, no, it's preferable.
Shout out to all Chris for moving the lights for me.
No, I always bring guests, good company through, Chris... Tallest person in the history of the studio.
Yeah, damn near.
No, but that guy Adam is kind of tall.
He is. Yeah, yeah, one of the producers here.
Well, the track lighting was fucked up when we got here.
Listen, Adam's not here right now.
Tall Chris fixed it right quick. All right, man. So I guess so you were playing ball in high school, but when did you start to kind of think about the visual space? Like, when did you start to look at shit and be like, oh, that's pretty?
Not for another decade, unfortunately. Okay. Well, you know, whatever. It worked out for me, but like I just touched on, I kind of went down a just was doing things I shouldn't have been doing for like just nothing like horrible necessarily, just like dumb shit all
the
time.
Just high school shit.
High school
shit,
but then from up until I was 24, it's actually this week, 4 years ago, is when I first
I know, I remember seeing that on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh,
so.
Okay.
So 4 years ago to this week.
Really?
Do you feel like you're, how old are you, 20?
I feel like I'm about 128.
Well, I was going to say, do you feel like you're late to, I mean, do you feel like you're late?
I'm actually super, like, as far as like, I started late, so I'm like,
yeah, because I, nah, you know, I
feel like I look at kids who went to school for this and like,
oh,
just
true.
A completely different mindset.
Yeah, of course.
And like me being in the position I was for almost a decade and having kind of a unique set of experiences.
What were you doing?
I was going to a lot of shows all around the country, damn near, traveling a lot, working about 25 different jobs.
So you weren't in Chicago?
I was in Chicago. I was in and out of Chicago all the time. All the time. But yeah, I didn't really start to... I came here a lot more when I was like 22 to 24, 25. And then I got the camera.
Yeah, because Springfield's like 3 hours away.
3 hours. I spent a lot of time in St. Louis. I had friends who lived all over the... Hey,
listen. I was going to say, on the way... Oh, shit. On the way to St. Louis, they have those like smokestacks in Springfield?
Yeah.
Yes.
My dad... That's
literally
that's
ingrained into my brain.
That's the power plant. My father... used to work there, and he used to tell me that was the cloud factory.
Not the clout?
Wow. Adorable.
Not the clout?
No, you know, the cloud factory is right here. We're in the cloud factory.
Cloud is on my mind.
Yeah. We are in the cloud factory.
Yeah, no, that place I'm sure is more... Yeah, so what did he work there?
He was the water purification superintendent or something.
Oh,
I didn't know the exact title, but he was... making sure the drinking water was clean.
Out here, hydrating the foot people.
Yeah.
So, you know, upon your anniversary then, what made you pick up a camera?
Well, I had an experience. I'm just going to,
talk about it.
I did a psychedelic drug.
Okay.
Oh,
those, hey, people do those.
Yeah.
I did. I researched it for a very long time.
Okay.
Before doing it.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it was one of those that you needed to research.
Oh, you have to. Oh. I would recommend researching just about anything
that you do.
Right.
With
that's
the
true.
Internet, you know.
And you're putting it in your body.
Especially something you get off the internet to put, and
you got it off the internet to put in your body?
I mean, yeah. Silk Road?
Wow.
Did you never use Silk Road? Hello.
No.
Hello.
I do great. The hand
gems,
healings,
gems
but I don't know that allegedly.
But anyways, it just kind of, something just happened where I like switched a little perspective in my head, and then like the next week, I was, you know, Instagram had come out and I was taking pictures on my phone. I was like, ooh, I'm sweet. I got a nice little filter, nice color. I can see the
lines.
Wait,
for real though, right?
Yeah.
Like that's how it starts. 100%. Like you start to feel yourself on the gram.
I was feeling myself on the gram.
Right.
But it's like when it's happening, it's Gucci. But then looking back, you like, why did I use that filter?
Oh God, the pictures are horrible.
Yeah, right.
Horrible. Yeah, they're godforsaken. And the edits are
framing is bad.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
That'd be, if God could forsake your photos on a gram, that'd be like the major. Like,
but it was like
down.
It was like when you got your first MacBook and you got Photo Booth and you're in Photo Booth like using
taking
all the
wild,
things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with like the distorted,
it's exactly
whatever.
What
the sepia
on.
Tone.
Exactly, except it's on your phone.
Tilt shift, like focus, like where you could blur everything else out. Oh,
yeah.
But I was taking hella pictures of my dog. So I low-key, like in that period where I was losing my path
shit.
And I was like not doing the right things, I got a dog. And like that for a few years, like I cared about something else enough to like not just completely fuck my life up.
Sure.
And then, so I was taking pictures and we'd go all over the place on my phone. And then somebody's aunt thought I was like a professional photographer because I'd post these pictures on Facebook. And she was like, hey, you know, I will pay you to take pictures of my floral arrangements that I do for like weddings and events, corporate events. And
let's
shit.
Go. Yeah.
And she was like, you know, come. I was like, I don't have a camera. And she was like, well, okay. Well, if you get one, holler at me. I hit my friend up who... My friend had been trying
acquire a phone.
My friend
a
had been a camera. You know, they
yeah,
weren't what
yeah.
they, you know, the iPhones
yeah.
aren't what
yeah, of
they,
course, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah,
was,
no
you know,
10s
we were on
running
like a
around.
5C or something. You
I know,
what
you
saying?
Out here on the 10.
We were on like a 4S.
Right.
And it was like a 2 megapixel photo or something.
Wow, damn. Back when, cavemen walked around dragging their knuckles.
Damn near.
Fred Flintstone shit.
Right.
So basically, my friend had been trying to pawn off his camera on me, and I was like, all right, dude, I'll take the camera. So he gave me the camera.
But what was it?
It was a Nikon D3100. It was a consumer entry level, the cheapest, lowest model you could get.
Okay.
And he basically fronted it to me because I didn't have $300 even to pay for this camera.
Fair.
I was a super bum.
Shout out that friend. Who's that friend? Let's shout
Matt
that friend.
Matt Larison.
Shout out Matt.
Matt.
Shout
out.
What up, man? My God.
Big
silent
ups.
Killer. Super, super amazing photographer and designer.
Nice. Well, you were spending your money on other things.
I was...
Allegedly.
Illicit items?
Probably.
Allegedly.
No, just dumb shit. I bought...
A lot of doggy treats.
Doggy treats, doggy beds.
Euphemism?
You were like... Scooby snacks is a euphemism. You already know. All right.
But Scooby snacks is when the bowl catches in your mouth. Okay, anyway.
Wow. So I got the camera. I went to picture of these flowers. She gave me... Andrew Jackson, $20 bill, and
to take pictures of flowers.
I got a camera like that afternoon, Tara.
Oh, true.
I also feel like
I was
she
a professional photographer.
I know, but like
6 hours after getting a camera, I was a pro.
But like, how long?
She lowballed, you know.
But how long were you shooting those flowers?
Oh, it took like 30 minutes.
Oh, still a little low.
Yeah, no. I mean, as your business manager?
That's like...
Yeah, right. Future, current, past.
Check it out.
Okay.
A light bulb went off.
Right, of course. More importantly.
That's the point is, it was bullshit-ass money.
Like,
nothing.
This
money
hustle.
First things first.
I got like a cheeseburger and fries and maybe a couple
First things
photos.
First. Fuck that lady, but she did kick off.
No,
she's nice.
Oh, no, shout out that lady.
She's my friend's aunt.
No, she like paid him shit, but...
No, she paid me something.
Okay. Okay, and that's the point.
In this world, you know, so we could have a whole nother radio show of people not paying photographers.
Oh.
Or paying for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, precisely.
So you got in your mind.
It sparked something in me. I was like, holy shit, I could make money doing this. I realized I could make a lot more than $20. I realized I could make, you know, I could have a career out of this. So I instantly.
Right there?
Yeah, for sure. I was like, wow, it was like a light. Seriously, went off of
really?
My head. And I had so much pent up, y'all. Like, I wasn't doing anything. I was like, seriously, just like going on hikes with my dog.
Because
you are
why? Because why,
I just
though?
Hadn't. I had no
direction,
and my parents had a very hands off approach. They were super hands on until I was like in sixth, seventh grade, and that's when I started to fuck shit up. And then I had one teacher who was super ill, and she had like great kids, and she was like, let him fuck up. Let him like just completely ruin his life, and he'll figure it out because he's mad smart. And luckily, I somehow figured it out.
But were you mad at the time, or you were like, whatever?
Oh, wait.
Like your parents like having a hands off approach?
No, it was great.
Oh, okay.
I could do whatever I wanted.
That's true.
Until you become 24 and washed as hell, and you're like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
And did you have those questions?
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm a very self aware person, so I was. Yeah, it was not a good period of my life.
I can't imagine
at all.
Parents like that.
Well,
I've heard you talk about your parents.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
You're an immigrant, so yeah.
No, but I mean,
you've talked about it.
Yeah, your folks have they've taken
on.
to this day to this day want to know what it is.
Yes.
You know, I'm not sure what approach would you guys have if you had kids. I'm curious because I'm
somewhere between parents who don't give a fuck and parents who give too many fucks. It's a sweet spot right there, you know?
It's so easy to say that.
I know, of course.
It's so easy to say that.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, Mom, I was a latchkey kid, so there was nobody around to do shit, you know,
which
was great.
I'm going to be in my kid's business, but I'm going to be the cool mom, you know? No, I don't know.
They were great, and they helped me out with a ton, but they definitely had a hands-off approach, and that kind of, like, I'm grateful for it, because I did figure it out eventually.
That's good.
So but what happened then when that light bulb went off? What were your next moves?
I instantly... hit my parents and I was like, yo, I'm about to be a professional photographer. I'm about to move back into your basement.
FYI.
Damn. Wait,
right?
What year is this? Four years ago.
Get my room ready.
Okay. Yeah, you know.
Right?
You
make
know,
my bed,
out the
Mom.
Power Rangers sheets, you know what I'm saying?
You're like,
coming back.
You're in Springfield at the time, though.
Correct.
You're just living like
correct.
So in
the
area.
I was, you know, on some real, you know, ambitious shit. I had rented an apartment in Springfield, my guy, and we were, you know, me and the homies had a duplex, you know.
Let's go.
We had like a 75-year-old couple next to us, you know. We had a yard.
Didn't like you
and
smoking
shit.
Weed.
Oh, you know that was a problem.
But my question is, what was the scene like there?
The scene
was there one. There might
see,
have.
I don't even.
I don't know.
No, there's not one.
Springfield's
not
small.
One.
Small place.
There's some bars and things you can go out
there's
to.
No, there's like, no rappers, no.
There is a handful, but like it's so, everything's so disconnected. It's like.
And you weren't necessarily even checking for that at the time.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I was around, sure, because I know everyone and I'm already social. So like I knew everyone in Springfield and what's going on. It was just, nothing was very good. And so I was always, that was a thing too, I guess, when I was, even in my early stages of photography, I was always seeking the good shit. St. Louis and Chicago, mm-hmm. and elsewhere, just like, you know, seeing what's out there.
So you moved back into your parents' basement?
Moved back into my parents'.
They were psyched?
They actually were psyched because I like helped them hella around the house and was like a marriage counselor as
damn
well.
Damn near. Yeah. You're a lot of things.
Heavy.
Siblings?
Yes. So okay. I'm the oldest. I have an older half-brother from my father's previous marriage, and then I'm the oldest of three siblings with my parents' marriage.
Okay.
So yeah, I have a younger brother who's 26 and a younger sister who's 21.
Were they living in the house when you came back?
My brother was a student at U of I and my sister was in high school. So I was there for my sister's high school.
Oh, yeah. That must have been fun. Fucked up?
She party, no.
I don't know, it's always funny when you see like the youngins get to that age and they're out here.
She's
a responsible young.
That's good.
Young,
shout out.
She's way more responsible and a little more wise. She can see me and my brother.
She's like, I'm good.
She's like, these are the things I'm not gonna do.
That's important. You gotta set that path sometimes.
I didn't do that though, but okay. As the younger sibling.
You're the younger?
Yeah.
How about you, Kev?
I'm oldest. Yeah. So you moved back in, helped out around. What did you start? You said you got a job.
I switched jobs. I was working at the front desk at a gym in the mall.
Ooh.
So I did this for like 3 or 4 months. I mean, it was so shameful, like seeing kids I went to high school with.
Oh,
they're like,
yeah.
You know, before they go to work, at their 9 to 5 and shit.
Right.
And like my,
but then
people I know's parents, and you know, I'm in there.
But you know, you don't want to be them, do that shit.
Well, it's true, but at the time, though, it's still like, you know,
it's hard at the time.
The path wasn't as clear as it is now.
Yeah. What are you doing, man? I'm working at the gym, and I made $20 taking pictures of
flowers. I take photos, though, right?
Yeah.
And dogs.
Right.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah. I instantly was like,
yo, you got a dog or flowers?
I instantly was like, okay, I'm just going to like, I was very good at selling my services and myself and marketing myself
right away. So did you begin to do that?
For sure. I was so shamelessly like confident in what I was doing.
So what were some of your first gigs?
Bar mitzvahs.
What you gotta do.
Springfield's the capital, so I would go with, there was a lobbyist group, Healthcare Council of Illinois, and they basically represented all the nursing homes in the state, and they, so I would go with these groups of old people and lobbyists and representatives, and they'd go meet with Mike Madigan and the people at the Capitol. And I'd take pictures of that. So that's another gig. And then, people would ask me to take pictures of their dogs frequently. Weddings, baby pictures, senior pictures.
Let's go. And you would just do it.
It was horrible. And I loved every minute of it.
And you were getting that experience.
Liked it.
I did, because it was, because I was making bread.
Right.
And learning your craft.
I was learning my craft. And I was, but at the time, you know, I was like, oh,
but I'm a big
obviously
trash. Big proponent of like doing everything in your field before you figure out what the fuck you want to do.
Oh, I super did that.
Yeah,
I
but maybe you end up liking taking photos of babies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, that could have been a thing.
But that's like your college. That's your college.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, and that's, to a degree, yeah. That was like, I had a year. It was only about a year, year and a half when I picked the camera up till I moved here. But so almost instantly, though, like 2 or 3 months in, a girl I was dating was a marketing manager for a club in Boys Town. And she was like, dude, I can get you like $600-$700 for like a few hours of just shooting club photos with a flash.
Damn.
And so I instantly was up in Chicago like months after I got a camera.
What club?
It was called Chloe. So it was Spin.
Yep.
Spin that switched into Whiskey Trust and Chloe's. Some straight guys like took it over or bought it or some shit.
Wow.
Of course it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Of course it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking? But
that is an odd way to gentrify. But exactly. That's what happens. Well, that's what happens.
Oh, it did not work. That is not what happens in Boys Town.
They
were like, nope. They weren't folding. They were not folding.
Right.
So, but anyways, I did that for some months, and it was actually there where I met Chris, the homie Chris Lindsay.
You met him at the club?
He was... So
talk to us. You were in the club.
He was a bartender.
Oh, okay.
He was a bartender. He was serving up whiskey cocktails.
You're like in the Guinness Book for the tallest bartender in all of Illinois.
He definitely was. He definitely was. And it was like we were the tallest people there. And he liked that I was listening to Toro y Moi as I edited. Mm. So we became friends. And then he told me about some crazy ass tech company he was trying to start.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, yeah, man, like I'm trying to do this. And we're going to do these parties at Lacuna Lofts. And like you can come meet people and take
this
photos.
This is 3 years ago.
This is
4 years ago.
Almost 4 years ago. This is about 3.5 years ago.
Okay. 2014.
The spring of 2014.
Oh, okay.
So,
but you're still living in Springfield.
I was living in Springfield. I'd come up here, stay with the girl, you know, for a weekend or something, work a couple gigs, and then boogie back to Springfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still working the gym job or
No, I had.
Gave it up.
At a certain point after, around that time, I gave that up and then was getting enough photo stuff to wear while I was living in my parents.
Sure.
Oh, no right.
Overhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of like paying off a little debt and then getting enough money to get myself here. I always knew I was about to land here because I already knew a bunch of people here. And then Chris had the tech thing that he wanted to start a media side of. And he was like, you know, when you're ready, when we're ready, like, let's do that. And it was like a year after that, I moved here.
Okay. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the club a little bit because how revelatory was it to take pictures inside of a nightlife scene? Because I feel like that begins to also influence what you do now.
Yeah. I was like, I briefly touched on, I was actually always going to shows and parties. And I was very social before I had a camera. So that environment I was actually already in. I just wasn't
documenting
or working. I was on the consumer side of things always.
Right. Did that feel odd, powerful, flip
honestly.
It?
Yeah. It did. It was like, wow, I used to, you know, spend my money at these bars, at these clubs. Now they're paying me almost a rack just to come click, 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 and I'm out of there. So that was cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah.
So you moved to Chicago.
Moved to Chicago.
This is 2015.
Yeah, June 1st, 2015.
Okay.
Okay.
And why? Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, there was work here, but why did you want to be here?
Did you connect
Man, you guys know, this city is amazing.
You were coming here, though, did you see, like, what was happening?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was listening
to
I was listening to a lot of the, not all, because I was not tuned into a lot of the shit that was going on here, but I was definitely listening to, you know, Chance, Mick Jenkins, Martin Sky, Vic Mensa, all the, you know.
But what was your like first show you can remember where you
here?
Were like, yeah,
oh, the I was going to shows like,
but like, is there like a moment you had where you're like, this is more amazing than I thought it was?
There was a few. It's happened like a few times.
Yeah.
And I hope it continues to happen for a while. But the first, when I met Martin, that was really cool because
that's your man's, right?
That's my man's. Yeah. He's my man's podcast.
Yeah, shout out Martin Sky.
He was the first person.
He's dope.
Shout out Martin Sky.
Yeah.
And he was the first person I like met in the music scene. Chris and I's business partner used to work at a studio in the West Loop, and he was just over there, and I went to just chop with him. It was like a week or two after I moved here, and there was a kid making beats, and they were ridiculous, like super amazing beats. I was like, who is this kid? He's like, oh, that's Martin Sky. I'm like, well, I've follow him on SoundCloud. I've been listening to his music for like a year and a half. I just, you know, I don't know what he looks like
yeah.
or what's going on. You know, I'm not like a fan. I just know that I've heard his music. So I instantly just hit it off with him. And that was like, okay, now I'm like, I took pictures of him and he was like, boom, like posting my pictures. It's like a whole new wave of something I hadn't really experienced up to that point.
Why?
Like,
what happens then?
It's like working with, like, I love music. Music has always been, I was that friend who's always putting people on music. I heard Brent say this last episode too, and I was like, that is me. But like, I was the dude with Kazaa and Napster. I was always making playlists, burn CDs for our homies.
Everything or hip hop or genre?
A lot, but mostly hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly hip hop for sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was.
I mean, where are you getting music from living in Springfield?
The internet.
I mean, yeah, but we're like you said, Napster, but
yeah, the internet, DatPiff,
okay,
Fake Shore Drive,
okay,
yeah,
you know, Two Dope Boys,
and you begin to develop your own sense of aesthetics in the music.
Totally. I was always listening to a lot of the same stuff before I moved here, and then I moved here, and I was like, wow, okay, I'm in this now,
mm-hmm.
And it was different for me because, well, Martin accepted me instantly because I was just like older, more mature, I guess, than a lot of the younger photographers that are kind of like eager and more like fanboys. I don't know. he never said that was a problem, but I could just sense, like, he was just like, oh, this dude's like about his business. He's a professional.
Right.
So we just instantly started working together, taking hella photos for
him. Did you show, and, what work did you show him to that point? Or did you not?
The ones of your
dog. Was just like, this is the
right.
homie. And I took pictures of him.
These are some daffodils I took in the spring of 13.
I had this camera.
And this is a Rottweiler I shot in the back alley.
All right, Kevin. Huck. All right.
My bad. My bad.
I had a camera you could instantly send photos to.
Oh, the Wi-Fi.
It was amazing.
Oh, so you're taking it from him. You're like, here you go.
Yeah, that's so lit.
And he was like, this is fire. Like, okay, you're
also,
like,
that's not, that's like serious. Like, I would take somebody seriously who, like, if they had that, I would be like, oh, you're real.
And then laced me? And laced me right away?
Yes. Like, I would fuck with him off top.
Yeah. And some of your illest, I mean, you actually have taken beautiful photos of him with the hand.
See,
and
I got
the
that, flyer. I can pull that out the archive just for that.
That's my favorite photo ever.
I got good archival stuff.
Yeah, Evan provided it's kind of like the version of the eponymous photograph for photography exhibition Tara and I did in Pilsen a few ago, and
really
all
cool.
your shit was club banging.
The best flyer ever, though.
I have one of your pics up at the crib now. The shot of Joe Fresh Goods, which is stunning,
amazing.
And shout out Joe. Okay, so did Martin posting your pics of him on the gram open you to more musicians?
To a degree, yeah. But also just like being around him. Going to studios with him, meeting people that way. The internet's like, you know, someone sees, oh, this person took photos of this person. Like, a lot of musicians I found out like keep tabs, and they know like every photographer in town. Like, they know,
of course,
they're always on the need in the need
exactly
for,
yeah. And if you see a good I mean I do that too. If I see a good photo or something, I'm like, yo, who's dude?
Let me
get down.
Not everyone's like that, not everyone, but it was cool to like just like be I don't know, working with people that I
admired?
Had seen on the internet and admired.
Yeah.
So that was like an instant, okay, people started to see my name. And then, I ended up meeting people, but honestly, that was more, I feel like people would see my name on Instagram or Twitter or something. And then,
it
wasn't what it is now, though. Okay. Was it back then?
No, I had a corny ass photo brand. It's called Evan Brown Photo.
Let's go.
You need a photo taken?
That is what your bar mitzvah handle is?
That's like shit. Kevin tried to roast me twice before I had the opportunity to roast myself. I was getting there. But you need flowers, dogs.
Yeah, right. But also, just in case you don't know what I do, because what I do is in my handle. Anyway,
exactly. Like, I am a photographer. Take me seriously, please. Yeah, that was like, it was whack, and I was like looking to get rid of that.
What's the evolution of
Action on Dirt?
Yeah.
I had a revelation. Another.
Are you
experience.
On dirt?
I'm on dirt with my former self.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's as with anything, it's, you know, open to interpretation. So if you're on dirt, if you relate to that, if you're actually on some dirt, great, wonderful. I personally am on dirt with my former self.
What does that mean?
Like, I have problems with how I used to be and the choices I was making and just how I carried myself and who I was. So fuck that. We're on to being a good person, a better person.
That's kind of dope. It's a constant reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck mm-hmm. it.
So who are some of the people that you began to work with in the music scene? Because that is part of what helps to propel your career to this point.
Yeah. I would say, so I'd never really worked with too many people. I just kind of went to like every single show that was occurring and would take photos at the shows and just go up. Like, I would know who people are from listening to their music. It's like, I'll just introduce myself because I don't care. I'll just straight see you, know who you are, and not be weird about it. I'll just straight up come up to you and be like, yo, you're, you know, Smino. It's like, I fuck with your music. Sure. So I think I kind of got to know people more from just like going to a lot of shows and shooting. And then honestly, the internet, like Twitter and Instagram, people would bounce my shit around. But I worked with our homie Mello Makes Music.
That was my into you. Taylor and Mello and KB.
Yeah, and I got to know Taylor from like living sort of together, and we ended up kind of working together. Taylor, I guess, is one of the first artists I kind of like officially like worked with.
A lot of Henny's being poured right now.
But yeah, I worked with the homie Smino, because my brother Kane, who is from the South Side, who does video stuff, he lives in L.A. Kane Jackson?
I don't think
Kane Wolf.
I don't know.
You remember Dave Koresh? You know Dave Koresh?
Yeah.
Dave Koresh. You know Dave Koresh? Okay, yeah.
Yo, shout out Dave Koresh.
Shout out Dave Koresh.
Dave Koresh can rap for fucking real.
And now he's
acting game is crazy, right?
My man is out here getting these Hollywood features now. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, those are my peoples from. Like, there was a 2 year period in my lost phase when I was in Champaign. I had some homies who went to the U of I, and they were like,
"Now, how far is that from Springfield?"
It's about an hour from Springfield, two and a half from here, right? So
yeah, out here.
I met actually a lot of Chicago people in Champaign, like, because they were students at the U of I. And basically, my homies they were going to school there. They had an open bedroom and they lived in the middle of campus. And they were like, "Yo, if you come live with us, it's $250 a month." And I was there.
I mean, I'm sure this it's more lit than Springfield, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like, it's a big thing.
There's actually shows.
There was shows, there was some things going on there. So I kind of like forgot that part of the story. But I worked with some kids there. We had a blog. It was called Urbana Pop and Champagne.
Okay, listen. Champagne.
On brand.
Urbana Pop and Champagne. Holy. It was a great brand. The homie Georgie Gosic started that. So my homie Georgie is this brilliant Serbian kid, and he started this, and we would promote shows and interview the artists. So we did like Mac Miller and Big Sean and Currency and like all these people that were J. Cole. And Georgie actually started working with the ASAP Mob. Like,
in what capacity?
He literally started the ASAP Mob, like all their digital properties. He just like started, and he was better at that shit than they were at running their accounts.
They came for a show.
It was literally
like
a fan page type situation.
Oh.
Wow.
The ASAP Mob. He started these accounts in the ASAP Mob name, and they were like, "Bro, let us get these off you." And he was like, "No, like
let me
I'm
work.
Smart.
Yeah.
Let me work.
Smart.
Give me money."
Well, they just
let me work. Let me cook.
Exactly. Yeah. He wasn't like 50,000. You know.
I mean, no,
like,
but like
they were basically like, "Oh, let's okay, cool, yeah, you clearly know what you're doing. You're cool. We fuck with you." So he was instantly like part of ASAP Mob, and I didn't believe him. This is before I had a camera.
Wait, so you're in Champaign, right?
I'm in Champaign.
Yeah.
But okay, so boom, fast forward like a year or two, he's like now a part of the clique. He's like in ASAP Mob. I was in Springfield. He called me and was like, "Yo, do you want to go to Chicago tonight? ASAP Mob, House of Blues, Rocky's got a meet and greet at RSVP Gallery." This is 5 years ago, probably. I didn't believe this man still. Like, what do you mean? Like, you're part of the ASAP Mob, blah, blah. So you got to understand, I'm small Springfield Evan at this point.
Yeah.
We went and like, yeah. We walked right up to RSVP. There's a line down the block, and
this was recently,
This is 5 years ago.
Oh,
two dorky white dudes walk up, and like he does like the ASAP Mob handshake, and just like let us right in. We're like blowing tree and like kicking RSVP gallery.
Allegedly.
I feel like you just shot an ASAP.
I did because
Rocky
show. So he's still part of, and so I'm connected to him now. And now that I'm a photographer, like
he puts you on
anytime they have shows. I can shoot, and I've been around the country to shoot stuff for Ferg, in Atlanta, New Orleans.
Wow,
so nice.
Was like an old person that knew me before the photo shit, and we were like in the music world, sort of.
That's dope.
So yeah, but legendary moment being in RSVP Gallery with Yams and Ferg and Rocky freestyling
for sure.
With like no one else in there, and this is before I had a camera.
That been documented, bro.
I've always been a part of the music world, sort of. So, like, that was...
Yeah, in different ways.
In different ways. Just, like, being...
Finding where you fit.
Finding where I fit. So, when I got the camera, I was like... And I moved here. I already knew kind of how to navigate that scene, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, like, how to talk to people.
But now it really... Music is also taking you in a lot of places.
Totally.
Right? And so, what do people ask of you in that regard?
Oh my gosh!
Like, what's your menu of services that you will provide an artist?
Man, the menu is slim right now because I'm a little overextended at the moment.
Yeah,
you know
you're taking a lot of stuff.
I'm taking a lot of stuff. I've been working with Saba on some stuff, and that's.
But how did you meet him?
So I met him. I'll tell you.
I want to say through Martin.
Seriously, same way I like just being at shows and like seeing each other.
Okay, but that one song Martin and Saba have together is amazing.
That was before I even moved
here. I know, but you've heard it, though.
Reach?
Yes.
Fire.
Great. Yeah.
Fire.
It's fire.
Fire song.
Yeah.
So.
Like, and you remember the name. I forgot it. I just remember it was fire.
You act like you're a fan. No. But that was instantly like someone who I was always a fan of as well. And then, yeah, saw each other's shows. Like I said, I took pictures of him, tagged him, DM'd him, sent him an email, whatever. And, you know, he's always good about tagging people and crediting photographers and stuff. So we knew who each other were almost instantly when I moved here. And then, actually, I went up to me and Martin Scott. I got Martin Scott to come to Paris Club, which is like, you know,
yeah, Paris sucks. Sorry.
Wow.
Oh, strong opinions coming out. We're in River North, Tara. Like,
I know, but I've had a bad experience there.
It's okay. So I was with the homie Martin at Paris Club, which is funny to even think that he would come there. But we started talking to the homie Damage, and I had never met Damage, but I knew he was Saba's DJ. I was like, "What's up, bro?" I'm Evan. He was like, "Oh, I know who you are. You take pictures of hella hot girls." I'm like, "What?
Is that a reputation you have?"
No, it's not. I'm like, "Who do you follow?"
Like, not Evan Brown photo. Maybe there's a new Evan Brown photo.
Nah, he had this weird. Somebody I was like, "Bro, I was like, that's weird." And no one's ever said that to me. So you're
Damage would say that to you, though.
Exactly.
He'd be saying,
yeah. Wow. He just says some funny stuff.
Shout out Damage.
But,
yeah.
I always flame him for his Twitter because he just says the wildest shit.
Yeah, wild.
Maybe not as much, but maybe like a year and a half ago, he would just be saying the wildest shit.
He still says some wild shit on the tweets. I know you kind of fell back off the tweets, but he is still very much
saying
wild shit.
Did you notice?
Yeah, I keep a pulse.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my job.
I don't like tweeting anymore.
In Twitter sphere, you know,
I only follow so many people. I see Damage's
tweets. That's good. I started talking to Damage, met each other, connected off that, and then like fast forward to like almost 6 months, they needed a last minute video person to shoot video for like Saba was hand selling tickets to fans for John Walt Day, and they were like, you know, we don't have a budget, but if you could do this, that'd be great. And I was sort of available, that I was swamped in edits, but I was like, hell yeah, shoot a video for Saba, like, sure. So I linked up with them and we rode around the city all day, and it was a good vibe. It was cool. But then we went to Kumbalinks and played ball, and I put buckets on everyone's heads.
Hey. Okay. So you're nice, is what you're trying to say.
I was nicer than everyone in the gym that day.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right.
We definitely got to play some serious basketball. Yeah. Mad Dog was playing at, you know, 100%. Okay. Me and Sob, there was three of us with 19, and I might have.
Was Joe there too?
No, Joe wasn't there. But I heard Joe.
He says he could play.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's
allegedly.
All signs are pointing to a Joseph Chilean's first Dirt one-on-one game in the near future.
Wow, you heard it.
That
here.
Could be in the
you
event of the season.
Yep, we're gonna. It'll be broadcasted live.
Yeah, sell tickets. Yeah, maybe a benefit.
Uh huh. So basically, after we played basketball and I beat everyone, Saba was like, "Yeah."
So that's recent, though.
What's up?
He's nice.
No, I mean, I thought y'all were maybe working together for longer.
No, that was it. I beat them in basketball. And he's like, yeah, you're squad now.
You beat me.
You guys are working then now.
Yeah.
On
so,
stuff.
Yeah, I was just out in Oakland with him. He's might be working on something.
Yeah, and, allegedly. That's
allegedly,
what it is. Yeah.
The streets are saying. Then he might be going on a tour this spring that hopefully I get to be a part of. I think that's looking like the case. So
dope.
Yeah.
Great.
But I love him and his team and like, are amazing people, and I feel like just like the trajectory he's on and where I'm trying to be and like how I look at myself, like I feel like it's a nice fit for someone to work with consistently.
Yeah,
I mean, who doesn't want to go on tour with a rapper?
Right.
Me, I definitely want
to. I don't, but you should.
Yeah, I think I'm set, but no, you should. You should do it. Well, with Saba.
We're about to be healthy.
But that's also different than like a regular, like a tour with a rapper that you know, what you would think.
So do photographers always make the jump to videography? And what was that process like for you?
Everyone's scared. Y'all got to stop being scared.
Oh,
don't be scared.
Oh.
You heard it here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
good advice across the board, though.
Great question, because people are definitely like, they stick their toe in the water and they open up video editing software and they're like, fuck this.
What's this?
Yeah. I'm out. Like, this is too much. Like, yeah.
Wait, so have we talked about Ear to Ground?
No, we haven't. We haven't.
Okay, let's go. I know you do artist profiles. You did one in Kevin.
Oh, you're talking about the content we do? So, my side of Ear to Ground, we are a tech company.
Right,
but
you can
we
talk
also,
about.
No, but we also produce media, which is my kind of
side. I mean, talk
of
about
the
whole, but the whole concept. You
we're,
know, is
we're
that
a
what
tech platform.
Tall Chris active, was talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, Tall Chris is yeah, in the building. We are like a tech platform that actually functions and works that helps artists kind of dissect who what people are doing with their brand or their artists, how fans are, you know, connecting with them, what merch they're buying, how many, what songs they're listening to, you know, what concerts they're buying tickets for, et cetera, and kind of helps you make better decisions,
yeah,
marketing based on that. So it's a very powerful tech platform. It does all sorts of stuff. You can do ticketing for events. You can build websites, sell merch. You can do email blasts, text blasts, all sorts of stuff. But yeah, we're going to, you know, talk more about that in the streets. We have all sorts of stuff that's coming out. But the video stuff is kind of where I come in. We're doing tons of artist profiles, which are great, but we're also working on some other ideas. I don't want to talk about them yet, but we have other types of content, not just artist profiles and event recaps, that we're going to be, you know, putting on display this year.
No, that's dope. But even that is, I think, a big service, right? Because that also lets people know, like, what it is, what it's been. And I think for an artist, I mean, even me personally, we work together and mm-hmm, I think that is, you know, a beautiful piece that you also have provided for community too, and an important piece, you know.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's honestly really fun. And I have like a fat spreadsheet full of hundreds of names.
Oh, I've seen it.
It's grown exponentially, yeah, sure, since I showed you that probably like the day we met or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I used to be working in this office at the old crib, and it was like in the living room.
I know. I was so, like, whoa, this
anytime
is cool.
People would come over and they just see me like,
yeah,
on the computer, and they'd be like, this guy, I don't even know.
And there
who
were
he
like
is.
Three dogs and like
three dogs,
10
and 17
people,
humans, yeah,
and like, you know,
a couple
pool
guinea
table
pigs
in the basement.
Yeah.
I was like, where the
goldfish
fuck am I? And you go up like these winding stairs.
Yeah, it was definitely a
and I was like,
place.
This is. I was a little thrown off by the stairs.
It was
but
a bizarre place.
Otherwise,
yeah,
it's dope.
But that's really, I mean, you live the life of a new creative. How do you get all that bread? Because you're getting a lot of different checks, you know, and they're coming from, or maybe not. I don't know. But I mean, how do you, I guess.
Yeah,
my,
that
I,
was a face. The yeah, people or, who can't see yeah, that face yeah, didn't no, look so promising.
Maybe not all that, but you are making a living. And how, you know, for people who are, you know, maybe timid or beginning that process for themselves in the jump into just a non-traditional creative space, how do you, like, what your day-to-day, how are you piecing together a life?
Well, as you guys know, as a lot of creative people in Chicago know, like, there's a lot of industry and brands kind of investing in Chicago right now.
Increasingly.
Which is
increasingly.
More and more every day,
yeah,
like, quite literally. It's crazy. So,
also looking for sponsors on the corner.
Right.
Store, yeah. To, yeah. As, yeah, as you know, potential brands.
And anybody
brands
who wants to
help
invest in us,
yeah, yeah,
go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Send us your, you know,
we
your
got
bids.
A deck.
Your bids, basically.
I know. Yeah. We got a deck, allegedly.
And your beers. Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like a lot of people are investing in the creative universe here and what's going on. So there is a lot of opportunity. There's tons of different ways to make a living. I've personally found, like, I was doing the photo thing, to tie back in your last question into this question. I was doing the photo thing and saw kind of like my ceiling. I was like, okay, I see what this person's doing, what this person's doing, what this person's doing, what I'm doing, how I feel about my skills. And like my ceiling was like, oh, I'll be a Nat Geo contributor. Like, that was like, to me, the coolest shit I could possibly do with
photo.
That'd
be very cool.
It was like, I don't know if there'd be anything cooler,
right,
that you could do sustainably. Mm. And even then it was like, well, I have to be a
Planet
fucking
Earth.
Mountain man. You gotta be a super extreme human to even get
you
to
like
these,
nature though.
I like nature.
Get
but
that dog back.
I also, you know, can barely play a game. I can barely beat, you know, Saba and Pivot Game basketball without, you know, hurting really
so
bad
close.
The next
okay.
day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm an old man. And so I was like, well, I'm definitely not going to be able to be a Nat Geo contributor because that's going to take 10 years. Let me just,
it
like,
could happen.
Continue to grow, see where I can take this. And Chris, for sure, was a big influence on that. He, like, kind of, like, get your ass out there. Like, you can do this, bro. Like, you got it. Like, and then around that time, I found out that my great uncle, my father's uncle, my grandfather's brother, was a, like, filmmaker and contributor to the Tribune, actually, in the 1930s and 40s.
That's dope.
So he went to Central America, South America, and filmed, like, some of the first documentary stuff.
For the Trib? Oh. Yeah. I didn't know they did something
well,
like that.
We could crack open the archive. You know, tonight in the building.
I was just ready to get
good.
Before they make it like plush condos for the uber wealthy.
True. Yeah. Yeah. We have to secure those files.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. This is about to, where we're at. Actually, is about to be like somebody's like just giant sauna.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
This whole room is just a sauna.
Yeah. Or like
I hope there's like a little hot tub or something.
You know what their name is? I'm trying to get invited back then.
For real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Okay. Yeah. We'll let you know.
Cool. We might just stay. We should. Right? we should just do a proposed sit-in. You know what I mean?
Sit
Hell
in
no, we won't go. Unless you let us in the sauna too. Yeah. Yeah. I'm working on the champ, but yeah.
So yeah.
So because but part of it is you've worked with brands. You work with some of those brands, mm-hmm. right?
Totally. Yeah. Red Bull was just here for November, and they were great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did a bunch of stuff with them.
Definitely. They worked. We did video stuff. So they were looking for like social media stuff for the @RedBull Instagram with 8 million followers, and their team is amazing. Such a great team of people. But like myself, Dennis Elliott, Jamil Bridgewater, Bianca Garcia.
Oh, I love all those people.
Like we were all doing different video stuff. Like they kind of like let us go crazy and like do whatever, sort of whatever we wanted. So that was
great. You did something outside the Metro.
Yeah, I filmed a footwork circle outside the Metro. I pitched them on this footwork concept because they were like, you know, most of our stuff's live action sports, and we want to do stuff with culture. And I was like, footwork.
Got you.
Instantly. Yeah. So like, we did a footwork circle outside the Metro. It was great. Shout out to AJ and AC and Martin Sky, who is also a footwork champion. Wow, we're gassing. Ooh, Martin.
Wow.
Sky.
Wow.
Yeah. We got to get Martin Sky on the program.
Light bulb. Y'all know Bulb.
Love him.
When I told Bulb I was friends with Martin, he was like, oh, Martin got bangs. Like, wow. Bulb instantly put respect on his name. And for Bulb to do that,
that's big.
I already knew he was stamped, certified. Yeah, so we did that. That piece was cool. Got some stuff with Lil Yachty coming out, which is going to be pretty funny. We did him taste testing some Chicago pizzas.
Oh, okay. So, that is funny.
So y'all will have to see how that reaction went, because it was pretty funny.
So how different is the – because how different is the commercial art from your own personal art?
Yeah, so like production – well, first of all, I have not created anything really video wise that is like, I feel like it's my personal art.
Right.
I chop up like little recaps and those artist profiles, done a few of those. It's like, they're sort of like art pieces, and like, there's an artistic, like, I don't know, impression on them, like with what I do with the edit and shooting. But I don't feel like, you know, I haven't done a short film. I have an idea for a short film. I haven't done a music video that's my concept. So really, I haven't fully gotten there yet. I've been doing video for almost
2 years.
As a videographer. With photo stuff, like, yeah, there's...
Well, you do a lot of Polaroid stuff. You want to talk about that?
I got a Polaroid camera a year ago. It's so funny. People are like, oh, you're a Polaroid photographer. I got a year ago.
No, I don't think... See, I don't think... Your aesthetic to me is like...
It's new and it's changing kind of sometimes.
No, not even that. It's not even lo-fi to me. It's just very like of the moment, and that's what Polaroid is, right?
Yeah, totally.
So that's how... I mean, you know, you do have like your... I wasn't at your show, but I saw you had like professional stuff. But to me, like the best stuff you do have is... The ones, you know, you're on the Polaroid, you're on like film.
And no, a lot of people say that.
That might be your sweet spot.
I think it might be. I'm definitely, you know.
I mean, figure it out, but.
But you are figuring it, and you're only a few years in. I think. And I think what is profound is that you just celebrated your 4th year anniversary holding the camera, and that you've had this run, and that's why I said like you are really in a moment, you know, and I think people are taking notice. And I don't, and this is no gas. This is just the truth. But you are also figuring it out. And so part of what I think, you know, you have to do is, as any young creative does, is also continue to trust oneself to figure it out. And that's difficult once you get a little bit of shine. Because this is the thing that I think Chicago does maybe better than anybody else, is that because we don't have the capital of the industry of the coast, we always have the ability to create and grind and find out what we do well. And so what you don't want to do is get gassed and just stay in like one monotonous lane.
Totally. Well, I don't think that's going to be a problem for me.
No, facts.
I kind of have a self-loathing nature, but it's gotten me this far because I used to have that mindset almost always, and I wasn't doing shit. So now I've just kind of always stay hungry, keep growing. Like, honestly, straight up, like, I don't super love like photo and video stuff. Like I'm gonna keep growing and keep doing more and more things. Like I do them and I enjoy them, but like when you do something for a living too, it changes how you feel about
it. Oh, for sure.
Like, even if you like love something, like.
But when you the moon and airplane pick that you have
you
in your show,
one?
I love that one.
Thank you.
Do you love that one?
That one I do love.
Okay.
Actually,
yeah,
I do love that.
Yeah,
one. I loved most of the photos in my show.
Yeah, the show
those were over almost 4 years of photos, so
right.
I better love like 12 of my pictures I took out of like, 300,000 or something, you know?
Which is significant as fuck. Like that.
Why do you say you don't love?
I just like I do, but
is it you're burnt out?
Well, first of all, I just came off my first. I have not taken days
right.
off.
Yeah,
since I've been like a cannon shy of a cannonball since
no
I picked up
off.
The camera
yeah.
because I was so bottled up before that.
Right.
And I've just been like going, like for sure not more than one day off in a row since I picked up a camera until this week. I took like 2 days off ish and so I'm recharged, and you know, I love the like the fact that I can like do pretty much what I want every day and make a living off of doing something creative, which is amazing, and I'm super grateful for that. But like I'm not just cool with like doing what I'm doing now by any means. And with video, that's kind of I don't know about that, because I do want to be a director. And when that changes and I'm actually directing and I'm like doing things I want to do and my creativity, my art, things that I want to make, I think I'll feel differently about it.
Elevate.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I'm just keeping an open mind. But the big thing for me is just growth and just trying new things and seeing, you know.
I mean, you out here, so grinding and hustling.
Who do you look to, you know, for inspiration? Who are some of the folks that you know, as a photographer, as a videographer, as just a person who appreciates aesthetics in the world?
Mm. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of a lot of my friends. I've always maintained that I do like to get a lot of my like inspiration from my experiences, what I go through on a day to day, what I see, not just like other people's art necessarily, just like the world around us. But as far as artists and like people that,
I mean,
really
your homies
me,
are, yeah. I mean,
my homies are going crazy, but outside the homies,
you could name the homies too.
Okay,
please.
The homies like Dennis Elliott has from
Yo,
day one since I picked
amazing.
Since before I moved here. He is like he was always just like a super homie, and I did my first art show here with him. So he's always been like a brother and constant inspiration. Like how the kid's photos are, he's special,
brilliant, yeah.
super special. So him for sure. My friend Jamil Bridgewater is
Love
I think like the one of the most slept on artists in Chicago, and it's because of his extremely humble and like. Reserved nature, but his work speaks for itself. Super, super crazy. He just posted something last night. I came back from I took a little social media sabbatical, and I saw what he posted, and I damn near just deleted my social media again because it was that good. That man is like really, really, really great. So yeah, but along the way, I've been inspired in moments by certain people, and just like, you know, you see people, you know. Like anyway, you take little pieces of other people and just draw inspiration from that, and
always
make your own
always.
Little recipe. Also, the homie Wani from Nini's.
Of
Everyone
course.
Knows Wani,
yeah.
but I spent a lot of time with him the past like 4 or 5 months, and Juan has put me on endless game, and we've had some great like philosophical conversations early mornings at Nini's and Soho.
One
and
of the best places. Humans in Chicago,
yeah.
for
yeah.
sure. He's
yeah.
he's so he's an inspiration to me too, and how
he
carries himself and maintains and.
He yeah. was, yeah. okay, funny story. I know this is not about me, but July 2015, I came to Chicago for the first time since I graduated, and I came to interview Martin for Mass Appeal. He told me to meet him at Nini's.
Martin took me to Nini's for my first time, too.
Right. Martin left. I was meeting up with Smino, but in between, I was just, like, chilling, and Wani came outside and handed me, like, a hibiscus lemonade, and I was like, bro,
good
like, what are you... No, I was like, what do you want? I don't trust you. I live in New York. Like, everyone wants something. Like, what do you want from me?
Yo,
but
a hibiscus lemonade
nice.
Is damn near.
No, but he was just
I
being
can't
nice.
A better gift. Maybe
just,
Vintner's Southern Heat Barbecue,
right.
Arizona, watermelon, fruit juice, and Skittles.
Wow.
So that's how Wani
wow.
is,
maybe.
You know? He's
but,
just the nicest person.
You also connected us to Langston, Alston.
Oh.
Shout out Langston.
Oh, true.
Yeah, yo, y'all had me thinking so locally on that inspiration thing, but Langston changed my life, like, for sure. He changed.
Oh, he's
like,
incredible.
Yo, I met Langston because we were the homie Robert Marone, who's like a designer from like Skokie area. He did a zine for his college, like senior project or something. He made like 7 of these zines, and he featured all film photographers from Chicago, Langston, Crystal Zapata, and myself. And like, I saw Langston was from Champaign, Urbana. I'd never even heard of the dude before, but like, his work was crazy. And we were in this magazine together, so we like connected through the internet. But then he was like, "Yo, I'm doing a show in Chicago where I'm gonna be there for like a month." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, maybe I'll like stop by and take some pictures or something." And he was like, "I'm like, what's the address?" And he gave me the address. It was like a block away from my crib in Humboldt. So I was there every day with that man, just like documenting him, and we instantly just like became brothers. Like, so much, like literally all day during, for like June and July, we're just together every day, pretty much just working on stuff. I mean, I'd even bring my computer into the gallery where he's painting and just work on my shit, or, you know, set up a time lapse or film him for a little bit and go smoke, go back to my crib, meet people, whatever. But like, Langston as an artist and like the conversations we would have, he did so much for like my, just like my perspective and my taste, and being just such a good friend as an artist. Like, I had never had an artist friend up to this point who like challenged me and like held me as accountable as Langston did, and like it really helped me grow a lot as a person and especially as an artist, for sure.
Yo, he's an amazing artist and person.
Yeah, and your community really is everything, you know. Your network is your net worth, and that, there's a reason for that, and you're a testament to that too, you know. And you know, I salute, you know, we're fans of your work, and we also salute the work you do in the community. I guess in closing, like, anything
that you've been listening to, what you're reading, what you're watching, what did you sleep on that you just discovered?
Yo,
you can answer all of them, though.
Wow. I am, I'm actually reading, I think you would appreciate this, Haymarket book about, I'd recently found out I was related to John Brown, the abolitionist.
Yeah, man, let's go.
And I became fascinated. Wow. And I was like, why has my family not talked about this before?
Yeah.
And so I've been like researching him.
That's
and I
crazy.
Found this book. The really, like, a lot of the historical takes on him have been very negative. I mean, even Abe Lincoln was like, nah, he's tweaking, like, he's crazy. So I really like try to find some digging, and sure enough, someone through Haymarket wrote a great
true.
Book on him.
You gotta check out my man Idris's play on John Brown too.
Which really, I know, beautiful. I heard about this.
Yeah,
I heard
it's
about
fire.
This.
Yeah. Yo, you know, Harper's Ferry Raid, and I think it's in DC right now, but hopefully it'll come back to Chicago.
I heard about this. But yeah, so I've been reading the book about him. So that's what I'm reading. What I'm watching, nothing. I watch Ozark. Y'all watch that?
Wow. Yeah.
Ozark
so
is fire. I used to spend, you know, some time there when I was a
me
shorty.
Too.
So, of course,
yeah.
You know, St.
I'm from St. Louis,
shit,
of course.
You know. But,
I don't know what you said under your breath.
St. Louis shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Did you have your headphones on?
Yeah, but like, people talk about so much shit about St. Louis.
He was
I'm just
bigging it up.
Me some St. Louis.
Okay,
Springfield is damn near St. Louis.
Carly's in the corner laughing because she know what I'm talking about.
Carly knows I big up St. Louis every chance I get.
Shout out to Lou Midwest in the building, too. Yeah. We got a Midwest love all day.
Yes. Yeah, so that's, and I'm listening to lots of stuff. I got Saba's project. Is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's crazy. It's so good.
Next.
It's so good. So that's, I was just out there like when he was, you know, making the shit. So it's special.
Yeah. Where can people rock with you and where should people find your work?
I'm at Actually On Dirt on the
Everything.
Social medias.
Actually.
You can go to my website right now, but all you're going to see is that I'm working on some shit.
Mm.
But
prepare yourself.
We have, the website is actually like, we built it on the Ear to Ground platform. Our homie Grant, who's done stuff for like Joe Fresh Goods and Chance's team and stuff, he's doing my site. Super, super, super cool concept. It's not some, you know, some Squarespace bullshit, as I said, you know.
Yeah.
We're in the future
okay.
now. You got to come correct with your website.
That's where my website is.
Right now it's nothing,
is,
but soon you will be able to go to actuallyondirt.com and see some
y'all
cool
stuff. Y'all want to build me a site? Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking good shit about that. No, step your websites up.
Mm. 2018.
But I'm just, you know, being a shit talker, Tara. Sorry.
No, it's good, man. Right. Well,
I feel really embarrassed about my site.
No, you shouldn't. Evan's going to help you.
I really don't care. Squarespace.
You don't? Okay, so you just
look,
they
don't sponsor us. For real, man, Sluice, continue to bring people together and continue to make shit because we'll be better for it.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys for having me on.
You
guys rock.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Nelson for the logo and art.
Big up WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.